Welcome to the weekly podcast from Harvest Ridge Church in North Ridgeville, Ohio. Our heart's desire is that you would grow in your love and devotion to Jesus Christ, and that these messages will strengthen your daily walk. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at www.harvestridge.net.
So my name is Garrett. I am the worship and creative arts pastor here at Harvest Ridge Church. I get the honor of bringing the last message of the year to you. The year's gone. Can you believe that? That's insane. Last message of the year, I want to say thanks to Pastor Kevin for giving me a chance to come do this. Thank you, Pastor Kevin. It's not anything that I take lightly. It's a responsibility I take heavily. I do believe God has a word for you today, and I'm really excited to share it. So with that, let's turn to John 13, John chapter 13. We're going to be in verse 36 to 38. As you're turning, why don't you stand with me in honor of God's word? And by the way, do you know why we do this? The reason we stand in honor of God's word isn't so that we're honoring paper and ink in a book. The reason we stand is because we're honoring the one who wrote the words in the book. Can you say amen?
That's right.
So that's why we do this. So we're getting into John chapter 13. This is the night before Jesus' crucifixion. It's the Last Supper. It's the most famous dinner, most famous meal in history, other than the meal that Audrey made me. Garlic-studded roast beef. That is probably the most famous dinner that's ever been made. This is a close second, though. So Judas has just left. Now Jesus is sharing with his 11 remaining disciples. And what he's doing is he's sharing that he hasn't come to earth just to live and be a part of their lives. He's come to earth to die as well. He's starting to share that with them. So we pick it up in chapter 13, verse 36 through 38. Simon Peter asks him, "Lord, where are you going?" Because he's telling them that he's going to leave. Jesus replied, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Really? Will you really lay down your life for me? Because very truly I tell you, before the rooster crows, that you're going to deny me three times." Lord, thank you for this word. God, would you take this ordinary day and turn it into an extraordinary day that brings us closer to you? God, would you please illuminate Scripture? Lord, would you continue to allow your Browns to win and keep winning? God, help them beat the Ravens today, because frankly, the Ravens deserve it. And the Browns need all the help they can get. Amen. Okay. So as you're sitting down, give someone a fist bump, or a nux, as we call it where I'm from. So I'd like to start off with a public service announcement. We're going to talk about a disease. The disease that is the scourge of our existence. A disease that's so terrifying that it makes the strongest men quake in fear at the thought of it. And I am, of course, talking about the dreaded man cold. The dreaded man cold. So if you don't know about man cold, go ahead and watch this video. It'll explain everything. Where is he? Quickly, love. Okay, son. Everything's going to be fine.
I'm going to die.
Not if we can help it.
My head's so burning.
How did this happen?
The computer, hasn't he just got a cold?
For God's sake, woman, he's a man. He's got a man cold. Do not, under any circumstances, move from this bed, okay? You, take this bell. When he rings it, I want you to come to him and rub his head and say, "Poor little bunny."
Poor little bunny.
Okay, that's good. Let's go.
Sorry, what about me?
What?
Well, I've got a cold too.
Laura, I want some soup.
What's the status?
Jono, male in his 30s, a girlfriend called 111 this morning when he woke up complaining of a sore throat and wouldn't stop talking about it.
How long's he been sick?
Only since this morning, but he's been acting like it's been an entire week. He could barely get off the couch when we arrived.
Jono, I'm Dr. Boyce. How are you feeling?
Terrible. I've got a runny nose. I want a hot chockey, a bath and a fluffy pillow.
OK, team, this is Jono. Male, suspected man flu.
I don't understand. I had a cold last week and I still went to work. What is wrong with her?
Someone needs to calm her down.
I thought he just had a cold.
Who does just have a cold? That's great.
I got so much life to live.
We are doing everything we can, okay?
You gotta get my will.
I'm gonna die. Not on our watch.
Obviously not. He's barely even ill.
He wanted a cold flannel.
Mummy! Mummy!
Jono, honey.
I'm gonna die.
I'll make sure that you get everything that you need.
Blinky is right here.
Oh. Hi, so sorry to interrupt. I was just wondering, would someone mind looking at this?
Oh, someone get her out of here. We are dealing with an emergency.
I've just been shot in the arm. Sorry, I've been man shot in the arm.
Now, I wish that this was fake, I really do, but unfortunately it's true. Any men with me? Any men not with me? Okay. So the thing is, when men get sick, something happens where they get embarrassingly just pathetic. I don't know what it is. Not like women. So I know this because I'm married. So when Audrey, when she gets a cold, she'll head into work, you know, she'll cook every meal. She'll be at work, she'll like scoop up like 17 toddlers and like lift them up above her head, like out of danger, like doesn't bother her at all. I, on the other hand, can't even lift an orange. I don't know what it is. When I'm sick, I'm thinking things like Jesus could come now and it would be okay because this body would die and then I'd be good because I'd feel better. I mean, these are like seriously the things that go through my head. So like I'll Google things. And I'll be like, okay, that seems to be the problem right there. Maybe I could just have my sinuses like removed. Then I wouldn't feel the pain anymore. Like I'll go to the store, for instance, and I'll buy everything that could potentially make me feel better. Like no matter how ridiculous it is, like every vitamin. I even do things like, do I have any like essential oil peoples here in the room? All right, so not a lot, but. So I'm not really like an essential oils person, but when I got sick last time, this was a couple weeks ago, I decided to take matters into my own hands and try it. So I put peppermint oil in my ears because that was something that's apparently supposed to work. If you're wondering how it turned out, it really hurt. I wouldn't recommend it. But these are the kind of things that I do when I'm sick, just not thinking. And I, along with most men, and a lot of men who have gone before me do just pathetic things when we're sick. Why is this? Because we just want to feel better now. We will do anything to get out of that situation now. Aren't people funny? You know, especially when we're in pain, usually all we can think about is right now. Who has a Netflix account in here? All right, so a lot of... Anybody remember Netflix when they used to send DVDs? So they used to send you DVDs in the mail, you'd watch them, and all the teenagers are like, what, they sent you DVDs? Like, yes, it's called the early 2000s, you can read about it on the internet. So what Netflix used to do is you would go online, you would pick a movie you wanted to watch, they would send it to you in the mail, then you would watch it, put it in the mail again, send it back to them, and then when they got it, they would send you back the next one that you chose, and it took 24 hours-ish for that to happen. But then what happened was they switched over to a streaming service, and then they brought us out of the Stone Age because every other, you know, company that does what they do did the same thing. And now we can stream anything on there. And the question I ask is, why did we do that? Because it turns out that we can't even wait one day to watch a movie anymore. We have to have the movie we want to see right now. We have to be able to binge watch all of the shows that we want to see. Why? Because we are so prone to living in the now. You ever make a huge big decision, like right in the moment, like you had a minute to decide? Anyone ever do that? How'd it turn out? What's that? Not good? That's weird. How many regretful tattoos are in this room? I mean, why do we do this to ourselves? It's because it's so easy to make a decision based on how we feel right now. However, wisdom is living your life not based in the moment you're in, but based on the season.
That's good.
So let me clarify some words here. So a moment is a temporary occurrence, a temporary instance that happens, and usually it happens and it's over very quickly. A season is something very different. A season is a longer extended period of time that lasts a while. It could be a time in your life. It could be something that you're going through that has a definite end and beginning, or it could be something that doesn't have a definite end or beginning. So there's seasons like spring and winter, but there's also seasons in our life, like having a toddler, that you feel like maybe this is never going to end. But the thing is, seasons always do end eventually. And I believe that God calls us to have perspective by the season, not by the moment. God wants us to have long-term perspective and not now perspective in life. But we have a problem because it's so easy to live our lives focused on the moment that we're in because that's all that we have. Do you ever hear that phrase that life happens in moments? Do you ever hear that or read that? This bothers me. And I'm sorry if you like that phrase. I'm not trying to say anything about you. But it bothers me because moments, they can be good or they can be bad, but they most almost certainly end quickly, and they seldom last long. But life is happening all the time during changing seasons. That's where life is. It's not wise or helpful to live our whole life from moment to moment, waiting for the next one. It is, however, helpful to always have your perspective focused on the seasons of life that you go through. That's helpful. The outcome of your life is not determined by moments. The outcome of your life is determined by the seasons that you go through. We are called to have our eyes fixed on the God who orchestrates all of the seasons of our life, not on the moments that may bring us joy or may bring us pain. You see, moments will disappoint us often, but God is always good, and His word says that He will sustain us. And it's because He has a plan that works in seasons. Don't you love summer? I got any summer people in here? So we're summer people, right? But how hard is it sometimes to be thankful for summer when it's 100 degrees? Do we even have 100 degree days here? I don't think we had them. Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. So 100 degrees, you're thankful for summer. But sometimes it's hard to be thankful for summer when it's that hot. And isn't it funny how we can forget how wonderful summer is very quickly when it's 100 degrees? When we complain about the heat, we're not thinking about the things that make that season wonderful. We're thinking about that uncomfortable moment that we're experiencing. If we could get past the difficulty of focusing on an uncomfortable moment, we might be able to have joy and really experience peace in the season we're in, even though the moment isn't fun at all. And Peter found himself in one of these predicaments on the night of the Last Supper. So let's go back to Scripture. Simon Peter asked him, this is verse 36, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Peter, of course, going way overboard. The P stands for passionate. He says, "Where I'm going, you can't come." And Peter says, "Why not? I'm literally going to die for you if I have to." Do you ever picture people around Peter going dude, just calm down, calm yourself. It's going to be okay. This is who Peter is. But the fact is, Peter honestly couldn't see the problem. Jesus says to him, "You can't come with me now." And Peter says, "Why can't I come with you now? I see no reason why I can't come with you now." And these two nows, they sound the same, they look the same, but the fact is that they are totally different from each other. You see, John, when he wrote this book, he wrote in two different ancient Greek words, depending on who was speaking. So the now that Jesus says, nin, and the now that Peter says, arti, are totally different nows with totally different meanings. Peter's now, arti, means at this moment, instantly, right now, presently. And Jesus now means as it stands. In fact, it's the same now that Paul used in Romans 8:1 when he says, "There is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus," meaning as it stands. Peter's talking about the moment now as in today, and Jesus says to him, as it stands. And he meant during the season of the story. Peter was prone to what you and I are prone to, tunnel vision on the now when God has called us to live by seasons. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes that for everything in life there is season. You ever get fired from a job? I have. When I was 16 years old, I worked at an oil change in the Silicon Valley. Forgot to put oil in the car. Sent the car. Car comes back, totally exploded. Didn't keep my job long. Now you know if you've been young, that sometimes you have these moments where you consider life is just over. Now I thought my life was over at that point. Little did I know that someday I would get to have the best job in the world every week serving you fine people. But I didn't see that or care about it at the moment. I could have, but I chose not to. And let's be honest here today. Life is totally full of these kinds of disappointments. And anyone who disagrees with that is either super, super lucky and blessed or delusional. See, any person who's young or less young will tell you that life is punctuated by hard moments. I'm 31 now. I turned 31 yesterday. So thanks. It's nice to get congratulations for not dying another year. So I'm starting to walk into life a little bit. And I'm starting to get these moments as I go. This little collection of moments that just don't make any sense. The longer I live, the more I just have these few moments that I just look at and I'm like, God, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? And you might be experiencing the same thing. You might be wondering why these things happen. But if you take a step back, and instead of gathering all these moments that don't make sense, that are difficult, you start to put them in place in the tapestry, and you can look at the whole thing, and you start to go, oh, he's faithful. Well, I remember that time that I didn't know what was going to happen. I felt at the end of my rope, and God came through. Oh, that's right, he's faithful. Oh, there's that time that I felt like I was in so much pain that I was never going to make it through it, but I was comforted, and he loves me. And you start to be able to trust him, but you have to have that perspective, right? The reason we can have joy and have peace in all moments is because we understand that all moments in life are connected to a life full of coordinated seasons. Am I saying that you shouldn't ever be sad? Absolutely not. And by the way, joy is totally different than happiness, not the same thing. What I'm saying is this: the only way to not be shaken at your core every time something terrible happens is to not put your joy and trust in moments, but put your joy and trust in the God who coordinates the seasons of your life. The problem we face in doing this is noticing that God's timing often seems pretty terrible. You ever tell a kid that, or maybe one of your children, that you're going to Disneyland that year, but you told them too early? Like you told them in spring or winter and you're going in summer? The problem is that they will continually ask you, is this the week? Is it coming soon? Is today the day? They have no ability to understand that it's not time yet, because their eyes are just fixed on the one season, the one moment that's ahead. How many times have we asked God, is today the day? How many times have we asked God, is this the moment that your promise is going to happen? Is this the moment that I'm going to get the job I want? Is this the moment that I'm going to stop feeling pain? Is this the moment that I'm going to meet my wife? Is this the moment I'm going to finally see that healing? And God looks down at us and says, maybe today is not that day, but you will see in time that my promises are true. And we look back many times in anger at God and say, but I just want it to happen now. And he looks back at us and says, but I have control of the season.
Right.
And I have control of the season that you're in and control of the season that's coming. Trust me, the time will come that you understand what I'm doing, even if it's not in this lifetime. And that's really hard, but it's true. Peter had a really tough time with this. He couldn't see past that moment, that instant. But God then said that a time is coming. Jesus called Peter to live out the rest of his life in seasons. And we find out later that Peter answers that call and he becomes the rock in which the church is built upon. Now, what do you do about times that you're going through that aren't just a hard moment, but what do you do about times that are hard seasons? So when Audrey and I knew that we wanted to get married, we lived in Australia. We were leaving Australia. We planned to move to California. And I knew that we had to do things right. So I decided, you know, we got to go ask your parents. Well, I got to go ask your parents. And so we fly from Australia to California, and I sit them down. Audrey's gone. And I say, look, this is the point in time I feel like I care about Audrey more than I care about myself. We're both on the same page. We want to get married. What do you think? Can I have your blessing on this? You know, I want you to put your blessing on this. And I'll never forget the response I got. The response I got was, we'll talk about this later. So Audrey comes in. She's hanging out with us all day. Afternoon goes by, evening goes by, night goes by. And then the time comes, I'm like, when is this conversation going to come up again? And they say, all right, good night, kids, we're going to bed. And so all night, there's this excruciating night, and I'm like, what's going on? The following day, all morning, nothing, all afternoon, nothing. And I'm like, what is going on? So finally, I go to Audrey's dad, and I'm like, hey, can we just go, like, hang out? Like, so he says yes, and we walk down to the beach, and I'm like, look, I got to know, like, what's going on? What's in your thinking? And he's like, yeah, I guess that'd be okay if you marry Audrey. Like, it'd be fine. I'm like, I know you're going to... I'm like, just so you know, I'll take care of her. And he says, you're right, you will. So we start talking about, like, what to do next. And we're like, we want to get married really quickly. Like, next couple months. Like, let's do this. And he goes, actually, I think what you should do is get married in, like, 12 months or longer. And so this became, like, a hard season for us at the time because we were in pain of waiting. But do I see the purpose in that now? Yes. Absolutely. See, that season helped me become a better husband because that was a time that I learned how to serve Audrey. And that was a time that I learned the stuff that I couldn't learn if we had just rushed into it. Now, can I get real for a second? Not all of the disappointing hard moments in life are as frivolous as that one. And there's even a chance that there's some individuals in here saying this morning that my difficulty is too difficult. The pain is so great that I don't even want to live anymore. I don't want to wake up or get out of bed. And if that's you this morning, or you're listening online, then this message is especially for you. So I want to ask you, don't dismiss this message. This is for you. I want to tell you today that we have a God who has coordinated every single day, every single moment of your life. And the season you're in makes absolutely no sense right now, but one day he will work everything out for good because he loves you. Matter of fact, there's a man in our church who faced a difficult season in his life, and I'm going to show you his story this morning. So take a look at the screens.
I didn't know what was wrong, but I was hurting bad. And when I got home, my wife says, you want me to take you to the emergency room? I says, no, we'll wait a little bit and make sure that it don't quit. Well, along about 11 o'clock, I said, we got to go to the emergency room. So she took me up to the emergency room up on Detroit in 83. And they took me in, and in 15 minutes, they had everything done to me. I mean, they took all my vitals and checked me out with x-rays, EKG, everything. And he came back to me and said, we can't do anything for you. We got to ship you over to Elyria Memorial. very, very long, and they had me ready and took me up on the roof and put me in a helicopter and shipped me over to Cleveland Clinic. And right as soon as I appeared in the Cleveland Clinic, they took me right straight to Dr. Henderson, which was the head of the pancreas division. And he showed me on what he already had. He said, this is what I got to take out. He said, but I want to take another CAT scan and make sure it's the same. That he cut me open, and while he had me open, he had the hold of the cancer in his hand, and it was wrapped around my aorta, and he cut an artery. So he had to repair the artery, and he had to let the cancer go. And he sewed me back up. And as soon as I got home, well, right after the surgery, I would have a pain start down here and come up here and blow out, one after the other. And I remembered it, according to scriptures, if we pray according to God's will, and as to what we need, He will supply the need. So I started praying. I said, Heavenly Father, if you would take this cancer away from my pancreas, and I didn't get pancreas out, all the pain just stopped just like that. So we went down and took the CAT scan again, and he already shipped me back up to my room, and Jewel was sitting beside me, and the kidney doctor was standing beside me over here. And Dr. Henderson came in the door, and he says, well, I got good news. He says, there is nothing on your pancreas. There is nothing in your cavity.
Clinically, the decision was this was not resectable. I couldn't take this out. So we dealt with it by making sure that it didn't block off vital pathways. Many times through my surgical career, I felt you have what I would call miracles, in as much as you have these great unexpected outcomes where some patients do a lot better than expected. Do some of these patients truly have a really bad a cancer there that does go away? I can't say for a fact that doesn't happen.
I just praise Him for it. I know what He did. The doctor knows what He did. The kidney doctor knows what He did. And I knew I had to praise the Lord and give Him all the credit and praises, because He's the one that's been taking care of me all my life. And I love Him, and I praise Him for it all. And I'll praise Him to the end of time.
So is this video saying that when I have an issue, when I have a problem, that all I have to do is just believe and God will instantly take care of the problem? That's not what this video is saying. What it's saying is that when you consider that your tough moment is only part of a season, it makes it possible for you to trust Him. And when you trust Him, He will help you remember that He eventually works out everything for good. In addition to that, His love and provision will sustain you through the tough season, through the tough moments in life. You may be sitting here today and you're saying, no way, there's just no getting through this problem, it's too big. Listen, I faced those. I'm facing one this week, as a matter of fact. And you might not believe me, but I know what it feels like. And here's what I found. Matthew 17:20. The disciples are asking Jesus, why couldn't we drive out demons? You said we could do it, and we didn't end up doing it. Why couldn't we? And Jesus says, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Was Jesus saying that if you just believe that the mountain will instantly go away, your problems will disappear, if you just have enough faith? No. Wrong again. Jesus was saying that if you trust Him and invite Him into your situation, and you invite Him to walk with you as you approach the mountain. You will see that mountain move from in front of you to your rearview mirror. In this life, you're always going to have to walk over the mountains. That is a promise of Scripture. But you can make it over the mountain because He's with you, and His promise is that He will sustain you through it. He will make it possible for you to overcome tough moments and keep your perspective in the season. And I want to challenge you this week to get your eyes off the moment that you're in, good or bad, and focus your eyes on the God who orchestrates the seasons of your life. The Israelites found giants in the promised land when they got there. When they finally got there where they were going, there was giants in the land. And they had a choice there for a minute. To forget that God called them to a season of time in that land, or they could focus on that moment of impossibility. And they chose, thank goodness, to focus on the season and to trust God. Find joy and peace in all moments because you find trust in His plan for your season, because His power is sufficient, and that's His promise. Will you stand with me as we pray? Lord, be with us in 2019. May we have our eyes focused completely on You. May we always trust in You and in Your arrangement of the seasons. Give us strength to live our lives focused on the seasons that You made. We love You. We adore You. Thanks. Amen. Before we go, I want to invite you to sing this song with us this morning.